I want to begin with a quote. I want to talk about the sanctity of life, not just for today, but for every day. It is a worldview that we have. And when we hear people say something that is contrary to the Word of God, Scripture, then a red flag, a light should go on. And so we need to be aware of how people act, what people say, even how we act and what we say. Everything we say and how we act should be centered in the Word of God. I'd like to share a quote from Martin Palmer, and I quote, "If we teach a young mother it is okay to take the life of her own child in the womb, we inevitably pull the thread that permeates the entire garment of the sanctity of life forever." We're seeing that in the past, we're seeing that in the present, where even children who survive an abortion and they're out of the womb, that their life will be terminated. And that should grieve us. Okay, on May 4th, Focus on the Family is taking a stand. You may be aware of what's going on at the crossroads of culture and media in Times Square. The event is called, no, not SNL, but Alive from New York. And it will culminate with the broadcast of live 4D ultrasounds of the third trimester babies on a massive Jumbotron, yes, in Times Square. This will be an historic opportunity to demonstrate the humanity of babies in the womb. The event will be live streamed. We can watch it even if we can't get to New York. And they hope that many people as possible will make the trip and join Focus on the Family in Times Square. Will you pray with us? And I hope we're praying, not just on this day or on May 4th or May 5th, but every day to protect those who need to be protected. I'd like to show you a picture here, and I'd like you to take a look at that. Take a look at it very closely. Maybe you see, how many have seen that picture? Look at it closely. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you look at that picture? Pardon me? Yes, yes, you caught that, yes. There's a man with his head covered. You can't see it. A Hindu priest, Protestants, joining hands. But look real close in the back, and you'll see a banner. Does anyone recognize that banner? It's a Planned Parenthood banner. Let's go on to the next slide. Clergy members bless, as you can see here, new Planned Parenthood clinic. And this is what they said. God, let your spirit rest upon these caregivers. More than 20 local faith leaders showed up to bless Planned Parenthood's newest facility in Washington, D.C. in a ceremony this week organized by the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. And I quote here, in almost every message to our staff, I talk about doing sacred work. Have you ever heard that? People at Planned Parenthood do sacred work, said Laura Miles, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Metropolitan Washington. The outlet reported, this confirms the sacredness of the work we do. Oh, okay. I'm not even able to put those two together. She tells everyone they're doing sacred work. Therefore, in conclusion, this confirms the sacredness of the work we do. Just because they have some garments on, the picture's not there, a robe or whatever with fancy ornaments on it, so to speak, doesn't mean that their prayer is any more powerful than those who are pro-life. In fact, our prayers have to be directed not by how we feel, not by joining hands and singing kumbaya. This is very serious. Even we got clergy now who are blessing Planned Parenthood. You can pray for the people in Planned Parenthood, right? Sure. Does God change hearts for people who are involved in Planned Parenthood? Yeah, just see the movie Unplanned. How many are familiar with the movie Unplanned? Okay. Yeah, she was a caregiver in the facility, and God changed her life. I think for 13 years I could have that wrong. Great movie. By the way, Unplanned was such a great movie that they wanted one of their Christian radio stations to advertise. And the Christian radio station said, no, we can't advertise Unplanned. It's too political. I can say that all the time. It's so frustrating. It's too, and Jane said, too political? Death of a child in the womb, that's too political? Going on. The Tuesday ceremony involved leaders from Christian denominations, a rabbi, Hindu priest, and an imam over Skype. And I'm going to quote here, Rabbi Michael Namath, program director of the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism, reflected on the Jewish belief that one honors God when one honors his or her body. Can you just think on that a moment? Well, it is true in relation to ourselves, correct? We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But when one honors his or her own body, you're taking the life of another body, of a person. May the ones who bless our ancestors bring healing on all in need. I was trained in theology, so I'm probably reading this different than you. If it doesn't quite make sense, then you don't need to be trained in theology. You get it. May the ones who bless our ancestors, I'm not sure, Abraham, Isaac, bring healing on all in need, Namath prayed. The newspaper reported, God let your spirit rest upon these caregivers who serve as instruments of your hands. They do serve as instruments, but not of God, not of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the ceremony, the group sang, this little light of mine. Think about that, folks. We've sung that before, haven't we? This little light of mine. I remember singing it with my children. Don't let the devil, what is it, blow it out or something like that. Yes, yes. Look at the little child as a little light. And they sing that at the end. Listen, folks, just because you're religious doesn't mean that your prayer is going to be answered. Your prayer has to be based upon what the Word of God teaches, honoring the Word of God. I hope we all get that. I could come here with a collar, white collar. I could come with a robe on and all these fancy rainbow color things. That doesn't make my prayer is not powerful. Who is powerful is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful. And so we base our prayers not on how we feel about something. Well, I feel it's okay to terminate the life of a child. You hear me repeatedly saying, I love you, but I don't care about your feelings. Your feelings have to be tested by what? The Word of God. I'd like to give a brief introduction and just a few minutes to share with you this morning. Notice that while the word abortion may not appear in the Bible, God's word is not silent when it comes to the despicable sin of murdering children in the womb. And I have to say, sadly, outside of the womb. In fact, there are several biblical principles we can look to that shape how we are to think about this horrific sin. I'm only sharing this so that when you have neighbors or friends, family members, that you don't sit there and say, well, it's a political thing. It's your body. No, it's your body plus, let's do the math. Your body, help me here. Your body plus one equals, help me, two. Yeah. Notice number one, every person is created by God. We have to stand on that. And you'll say to me, oh no, I know a child that is mentally retarded. Did that child lose what we call the sacredness of life, the sanctity of life? Thank you. I know I worked for years as a substitute teacher in special ed. And I worked with kids that ran the gamut, okay? They are precious in God's sight. They have dignity. There's a sacredness to their life. Just because they don't create things, make money, have a job, doesn't mean that they don't have the sacredness of life. Notice every person is created by God. God's word is clear that conception is never, never, never an accident. You will say, oh, I know of cases where it was an accident. Not talking about that. Not talking about an unplanned pregnancy. You know, you already have children and 10 years go by and whoops. Okay. Conception is never an accident. God personally creates every life. Psalm 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. the fruit of the womb is a reward. A reward, not something to hinder your lifestyle, not to tear down your quality of life and to interfere with your life. In simple terms, we live because God gave us life. God is actively involved in the formation of every person. Both David and Job credit the formative work of life in the womb to whom? To God. They use picturesque language to describe just how fearfully and wonderfully each person had been made by the Lord. Take a look at Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Here's what the psalmist says. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, while as yet there was not one of them. Days ordained for that child. Secondly, not only is every person created by God, but every person is created in the image of God. Think of any kind of, I don't mean to bring up what we would view as an accident of a child, that they're not what we call normal. And that's a hard road to go down to. I listen to the stories of parents who have decided not to abort, but to have a child maybe with cerebral palsy or something like that. And God used that particular situation to grow them. I know we don't want to be tested, right? Yeah, we would not wish that on anyone, that kind of test, but it happens. Notice what the creation account says. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Notice that this sets humanity apart from the rest of creation. The term image has been understood in a spiritual, and here's a big word, ontological, meaning your essence sense. That is, image refers to the ability to do what? Reason. While likeness refers to the person's correspondence to God in spiritual attributes. During this latter half of our century, some have said that the interpretation refers more to the functional one. But the point is, and the point is well taken here, that every person is created in the image of God. Here's what John MacArthur says, and I quote, "The point is that after God initiates conception, we're not just the product of a biological sequence or a collection of cells. We're not simply a lump of expanding human tissue. Our skin, bones, and muscles do not make up the sum of our existence. We're not just flesh, a body. They are merely a vessel that contains what? Image of God. Even the person you don't like, even the person who's your enemy, is created, created in the image of God. Everything we need for thinking, acting, feeling, knowing, trusting, and hoping, everything fundamental to being a person is there, present in the womb. If we believe that, we will not terminate. If we believe that, we will not encourage anyone to terminate. Lovingly talk to the person. Jane said it very clear. It's not us who convince them. It is God, the Holy Spirit, that convinces them. But we are the vessel. God could have used angels to come down. But he chose us to speak up. Notice here, every person is the object of God's loving care. Note, throughout Scripture, we see that God has made special provision for the poor, weak and helpless. Over and over, his people are called to look after those who cannot look after themselves. Psalm 82, 3 through 4 gives clear instructions to believers, exhorting us to vindicate the weak and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and destitute, rescue the weak and needy. You think a child in the womb is weak? Okay, I'm not a doctor, I'm just... They need our care, yes. So let's call them weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. Is there anyone weaker, more helpless, or more defenseless than an unborn child? According to God's law, killing an infant is murder. Scripture doesn't have to use the word abortion to make the point any clearer. Remember that. That's what non-Christians say. Well, show me the word in the Bible. Well, there's a lot of things that the Bible gives principles concerning. You don't need that particular word. It's very, very clear as to what God has said. But there's some good news in all of this. I know this maybe is bumming you out. There's a sense that it should bum you out. There's a sense that we should weep over what's going on in our country. My wife is 24 years, she survived cancer. So how do you think she feels when in New York they celebrate the termination during this 9-month period, even out of the womb, and they put a pink spotlight on one of the buildings to celebrate that? You know who has pink? People who survived cancer, people that are fighting cancer, people even who have died from cancer. But here's the good news. God's redeeming grace is available and able to overrule the sin of abortion. The Lord can use even the most heinous acts of sin to display and dispense His grace. This is true with abortion. It's a horrific tragedy, but God's redeeming grace is still available to everyone, to all participants, without exception. Let me explain. Never forget, there is forgiveness for mothers who have had an adoption. Jane is saying that, I believe. Likewise, the abortion doctors, to abortion clinic nurses and counselors who facilitate infant murder on a daily basis, and to all the husbands and boyfriends who didn't fight to protect the lives of their children. We know God's grace touches people. We have Abby Johnson, who the movie Unplanned, was based on. We have doctors, and this may shock you, even someone like Dr. Kermit Gosnell. How many know who Dr. Kermit Gosnell is? Oh, I guess CNN didn't, MSNBC didn't talk about him. He was the abortion doctor in Philadelphia, convicted of murdering 3 infants. After they were out of the womb, he murdered them, who were born alive, and of involuntarily manslaughter of a woman who died. Many, many abortions were performed there. How come you don't know? I'm not chastising you. How come CNN didn't tell us about this? MSNBC. You know why? It's not part of their narrative. Do you understand that? Not part of their narrative. Talk about fake news. How about no news? And they had a movie on his life. And I'm sure they rated it R, too violent. Guess what? Murdering a child in the womb is a heinous, violent act. So does Scripture have anything to say about abortion? It speaks directly and with clarity to the issue. We know, don't we, that every person is created by God. Every person is created in the image of God. Every person is the object of God's love and care, and we are the dispenser of God's grace, aren't we? Jane meets people whose lives are turned around. That's true, Jane. Yes, she's giving me an amen. So we don't hide, we don't run from these issues, we don't make excuses. May I share some of the excuses, and you can see me after the service? For some people, there are exceptions for abortion. Number one, parents who want their daughter to finish school. Number two, a woman feels that a child would be a hindrance to finishing college or a job promotion. Hold on, I'm going to get to the men. Number three, Christian parents are shamed by their daughter's behavior. So punish the child in the womb? You still continue to love that daughter, don't you, Jane? Yes. Yeah. And number four, the boy feels he is ill-equipped to be a dad or economically challenged. So the expedient thing is to do what? Murder the child. Christians do it, non-Christians do it. You saw the picture up there, right? They had their hands joined together praying. God bless this facility who are caregivers. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for Jane and the volunteers there. Lord God, we thank you that you have raised them up to be a voice. Help us to be a voice. I thank you for Andrew here at this church who is a voice for the unborn and for the born, Lord God. And pray that we might partner with ministries like Jane's and others, Lord God, that we may speak out and have a voice in the senseless slaughter, Lord God, of children, black children. Father, you know I teach at a school, mainly African-American students, and they know, some of them know, many, many, many thousands of black children, even in New York, more are murdered than those that are brought to life, Father. We pray that we might intervene,
that the Holy Spirit might intervene and use us as instruments of safety, of love, of care, Lord God. Use us, all of us here, for your glory. Thank you, Father. Amen.